Hi, and welcome to the White House. My name is Ronnie Cho, and I'm the President Obama's liaison to young Americans. And I want to welcome you to a very special edition of Open for Questions, Youth and the American Jobs Act. Today, we're joined by two White House policy officials. To my left, we have Michael Pyle, who is Special Assistant to the President at the National Economic Council. And to my right, we have Roberto Rodriguez, who's a Special Assistant to the President on Education Policy. And so thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today on a very important discussion. So many young folks out there looking for work, and there's a lot of information in this bill that we want to clarify and get information out to. So is there anything else we want to say before we get started?
I thought I might just, you know, open up with just a couple of very top-line remarks about the American Jobs Act. I mean, I don't think anybody in the White House across the country is satisfied with the way the economy is right now. That's why we need to act boldly and act now to get the economy moving again, to get people back on the job. And the president's jobs plan is precisely a plan to do that. It's made up of policy ideas that in the past have generated support from both Democrats and Republicans. It's bipartisan, in other words, and it's as such designed to be precisely the kind of thing that we can pass now, get into law, and get Americans back to work. So I'm really happy to be here and happy to talk at length about the different parts of the plan.
Great. So the last couple of days, we've asked our friends on Facebook and Twitter to submit their questions online, and we're going to attempt to get as many questions in as possible. And so for the first one, we'll go to a question we get a lot geared around young entrepreneurship and business, young business owners. And the first one we have is from Eddie Smith. And Eddie asks, I'm in favor of the jobs bill, but the major barrier for a lot of us startups is capital. Young people want to create innovative startups that can and can do so on a shoestring budget. What we need is that shoestring. We need access to capital. How can we financially encourage these startups?
So obviously the president has a very robust small business agenda, believes deeply that entrepreneurs, young entrepreneurs, are the future of the American economy. A couple of things that the Jobs Act in particular has that's focused on just the kinds of things that the questioner was asking about. You know, first off, for small businesses that have, you know, just gotten off the ground and are growing and already have employees on the payroll or adding new employees, the Jobs Act is cutting in half the payroll taxes that all employers, large business, small business, startup business, have to pay to have employees on the payroll, to pay wages. We're cutting those taxes in half. And in addition, for startups that are growing fast, that are adding new employees, that are adding wages, for every new employee, for every new piece of wage that an employer, that a startup is adding, each bit of that additional wage or that new hire is going to have a full payroll tax holiday. Now, I know that the questioner was sort of really zeroed in on getting that startup off the ground, getting that first piece of capital. And there, the President's Jobs Act is meant to address a lot of those concerns. You know, there are a lot of things that the government's done through the Recovery Act on an ongoing basis, through the Small Business Jobs Bill, that are meant to help businesses find access to capital. But oftentimes, it's difficult to know where exactly you go to find information about that. There's sort of many different programs. One of the things that the President has said is that within the next 60 to 90 days, his chief information officer and his chief technology officer have to put up and get running a one-stop shop for all small business owners, for all startups and entrepreneurs to be able to go to one place and see all the things we have available. In addition to that, you know, oftentimes regulation can be a barrier to small businesses going out and raising the capital they need. And we're putting in place a range of efforts to help streamline, to help reduce barriers to regulatory barriers to companies going out, small companies going out and raising the small levels of capital that don't necessarily need to be subject to all the bells and whistles and regulation that our larger companies are subject to.
Great. Thanks for the question, Eddie. So throughout the chat, we are still collecting questions. So if you're on Twitter, you can tweet at us using the hashtag WHChat, or you can post on our Facebook page online. And so our next question we'll take from Twitter, from Spark Action. And Spark Action asks, how can we offset the long-term impact of today's unemployment, specifically on young Americans? That's a great question. Long-term unemployment is a big problem across the country, and how are we going to address this for young Americans?
So you're exactly right. Long-term unemployment is a huge challenge. You know, over 9% of Americans are unemployed, and over 6 million Americans have been unemployed for 6 months or more. That's a tragedy for families across the country. You know, jobs are obviously just not a source of wages, but a source of satisfaction. And so the president's really focused on getting all the unemployed back to work, but in particular, those who've been unemployed on a long-term basis. The president's jobs plan has a robust set of proposals designed to do just that. First, even before the start of the administration and in past recessions, Congress has always passed extensions of emergency unemployment benefits when the unemployment rate is elevated. The most recent extension of unemployment insurance benefits was passed last December as part of the tax deal. The president's calling in the Jobs Act for extending emergency unemployment benefits beyond the deadline, beyond their expiration at the end of December, through next year. But beyond calling for an extension of emergency unemployment benefits, that should happen. The president's also calling for perhaps the most sweeping set of reforms to the unemployment insurance system over the past 40 years. And what he's really looking to do is put in place a range of reforms that have worked at the state level, that we've seen working, variations of them working in other countries, that are all designed to get workers back on the job, and in particular, get those who've been unemployed for 6 months or longer the skills they need to go out and get a job, or to just get a job in the first place. These are things like work sharing programs where, you know, as opposed to an employer laying off a worker, they can reduce the number of hours that worker is working, and that worker with reduced hours can collect unemployment insurance benefits to help mitigate the burden of having to take fewer hours. Another thing that we're excited about is what we're calling the Bridge to Work program. And this is a program built off of innovative things that have been happening at the state level, things like Georgia Works or a similar program in North Carolina. And the idea here is workers should be able to go out and do sort of volunteer or part-time work, ought to be able to do jobs training programs, skills development programs. They ought to be able to do those things on a temporary basis and still be able to collect unemployment insurance benefits. The idea is, you know, if you're going out, if you're taking a volunteer job and to build skills that will hopefully turn that into a long-term or full-time piece of employment, your unemployment insurance benefits ought not go away. So people are faced with the choice between building skills and keeping their unemployment benefits. Now, one thing that I think is really important to address about this, and we've received a lot of questions about it, if you look at some of the state-level examples of the Bridge to Work program, what you'll see is that some of the protections that ought to be in place haven't been. So one of the things that the president's insistent upon doing is making sure that workers who take part in the Bridge to Work program are paid a minimum wage, make sure that the conditions, the standards of the Fair Labor Standards Act apply. So what we see ourselves doing, what the president sees himself doing, is taking the very best of what's worked at the state level, building upon it and improving on some of the shortcomings so that we can be sure to help workers, particularly those who've been unemployed for too long, make sure that they're building skills and getting back on the job.
You know, Ronnie, we should also mention a key part of the president's plan that addresses low-income youth, which is also the Pathways Fund. This is a new fund that is part of the American Jobs Act. It's a $1.5 billion investment in helping our low-income youth, both year-round as well as summer employment. And that includes a number of the things Mike mentioned, things like not only work sharing, but also apprenticeship programs that combine work with learning and with basic skills so that youth can really upgrade their skills and their education and prepare to launch into a new career. So we know that this funding in particular is critical. We know that this tough economy has hurt our youth, has had a disproportionate impact on our youth, and some of the recent figures show that we have, in addition to the long-term unemployment figures, we have about 45% of our youth today that are unemployed. So we want to do a lot more to support them, and part of the plan is to dedicate some specific dollars to our low-income youth.
Thank you. So talking about youth, talking about education, we have some students on the campus of Drake University in Des Moines, Iowa, Go Bulldogs. And a question we'd like to ask the panel, the students pitched this out to us, and Aaron Hogan, a senior studying law, politics, and society at Drake, asks us, how will the money and the funds in the American Jobs Act be used to modernize schools, be distributed, and which schools will get priority?
Well, thanks for the question, Aaron. A key part of this act has been to do more to really put more of our folks back to work, but also to do more to ensure that our nation is competitive moving forward. And one of the most important investments we can make there is an investment in education. So the American Jobs Act includes a dedicated $30 billion to upgrade and modernize our schools. That includes $25 billion for our elementary, middle, and high schools around the country. And it also includes a separate $5 billion set aside for our community colleges, where so many of our young people are building skills and getting continuing education that prepares them for work. We know that in order to succeed as a country, we need to out-educate and out-innovate the world. And the president last Thursday really challenged us as a country to be a country that's racing to the top. That has to begin in our classrooms. And our kids can't race to the top if they're learning in overcrowded classrooms, in crumbling schools, in schools that lack infrastructure, lack technology, may not have the type of infrastructure that they need to learn science, mathematics, some of those 21st century skills. So these dollars would go out to the 100 largest communities in our country that are the most vulnerable communities, our highest poverty communities, would receive dollars directly from the Secretary of Education to begin the modernization projects that they already have on the books. We have a $270 billion backlog in school modernization projects. And the remainder of those dollars would then go out through the states across the country to a majority of our school districts to really upgrade their facilities and make sure that their kids are prepared to win the future.
Thanks for the question, Aaron. So our next question was submitted through our web form. We had asked our audience to send questions in advance. And so this one comes through from Yusuf Abdul-Wali, and he asks, how can at-risk young adults in inner cities in need of full-time year-round jobs take advantage of the American Jobs Act? You're talking a little bit about those kind of programs.
Great. Well, I think, you know, the Pathways Fund that I mentioned is a key support there. And again, we'll be sending those dollars out through states to local communities to really support year-round as well as summer employment opportunities for our at-risk youth. You know, we know that, and that can be both in terms of making sure that we're reaching our youth right now that may have been employed and have recently been unemployed, as well as to make a dedicated effort to reach our young people who have been disconnected from work and from school for some amount of time. So we want to reach our students who have been dropouts and be able to provide them support to get back on a pathway to education and to work. We want to reach our young people who are working toward their GED, our young people who are in other settings, community-based organizations or in schools or in community colleges that are looking to get into work. And again, we know that our future potential as a country really depends on making sure that all of our young people have the opportunity to get these employability skills and make sure that they have the education they need to succeed. That's such an important part of this.
Great, thank you. So this is just coming in now. We asked some folks, readers from Newsweek and Daily Beast, to pitch to their audience a question they would like to ask us. And I think this one would go to you, Mike. UBEC Inc. asks, President spoke a lot about construction jobs. how about tech jobs, internet jobs, educating small and medium-sized businesses on how to grow their business?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, a lot of what I was talking about with respect to support for small business applies here. It's like streamlining regulations so that small businesses can get easier access to capital. Things like making sure that small business owners can find that information in an easy one-stop place. And also the tax cuts that we're extending to small business owners through the payroll tax cuts. But in addition to that, I think there are a couple of other things. First, you know, the country right now has pretty extensive broadband coverage, but it doesn't reach nearly all the parts of our country, in particular rural parts of the country. And the president wants to make sure that we extend broadband coverage from 95% of the country at least to 98% of the country, so that, you know, budding entrepreneurs, wherever they might be, not just in Silicon Valley, but, you know, God knows they're you know, folks with plans and with hopes for businesses in North Dakota and across the rural parts of the country who might not have access to the highest and best types of technology. And the president's plan is aimed at investing in a deficit neutral way $10 billion in expanding access to broadband. But the question also went to construction jobs, and I really think that the president has emphasized that a lot, and there's a reason why the president has emphasized that a lot, that the recession since the end of 2007 has hit construction workers particularly hard. And the combination of construction workers being hit particularly hard and being out of work disproportionately, combined with the fact that there's just so much rebuilding to do in this country, so much we can do to enhance the infrastructure of this economy so that we're more competitive, such that we're getting from point A to point B easier and faster, our commute times are lower, it's easier for goods and services to get from place to place. That strikes the president and strikes, I think, all of us here and many experts on the outside as, you know, just the kind of place where there's clearly good to be done, matching construction workers who need work with projects to rebuild America. And that's things like the schools proposal that Roberto was talking about, but that's also things like the $50 billion investment in our highways, in our rails, in our airports, to make sure that, like I said, we're building a 21st century infrastructure. That's also things like we have what's called Project Rebuild in this program, and the president, building on successful Recovery Act efforts, wants to invest money in our neighborhoods and in our communities, such that those that have been particularly hard hit by the crisis, where we've seen shuttered buildings, shuttered businesses, shuttered properties, that we're investing money to bring neighborhoods back to life. Again, this is kind of the perfect type of program to both build jobs and get the economy moving again, but also make sure that the United States is just the kind of place where we're going to want to be doing business, and everybody's going to want to be doing business 10, 20, 30 years down the road.
That's great. And for those who just joining us now, we are we're streaming live on whitehouse.gov/live. If you have a question on Twitter, please use the hashtag WHChat. We're also on our Facebook page as well. My name is Ronnie Cho, and I'm joined with Mike from National Economic Council and Roberto Rodriguez, who's Special Assistant to the President on Education Policy. Let's jump into another question from Facebook. This one is from the very cool folks at Hello Giggles, and Brittany Schernick asks, how can America afford this, and how will we pay for it?
So that's obviously a great question from Brittany. You know, we've spent a lot of time in Washington over the past 3 or 4 months talking about deficits, talking about debt, and the president, as well as all of the administration, recognizes just how imperative it is that over the medium and longer term, we bring deficits and debt into greater balance. But it's exactly right that for the future of the economy, for the future of the young people in this country, that they're not overburdened with deficits and debt. That's why the American Jobs Act, the president has pledged, is going to be fully paid for. You know, he thinks it's both important to jumpstart the economy now, and in fact, it's imperative that we jumpstart the economy now, get people back to work, but at the same time, do so in a way that doesn't add a dime to the deficit, that doesn't contribute to the burdens of debt and deficit that we might otherwise face. You know, the other day you saw the president put on the table a very specific series of proposals to help pay for this jobs bill. He said that that you've heard him talk about corporate jets. He thinks that we should eliminate a special tax break for corporate jet owners that they get that commercial jet companies don't get. So corporate jet owners get a special tax break that American and United and Continental, that all the jets that we, 99% of us fly around from place to place, we don't get. The president's basically saying we should eliminate that special break. We should eliminate the special treatment of income for hedge fund managers and private equity managers. We should eliminate special tax breaks for oil and gas companies, and we should ensure that the wealthiest among us are getting tax treatment that is leveling the playing field, that is a bit more equal and level relative to those of us who are those out there who are middle class. Basically, the president views this as about values. That, you know, if the deficit and debt debates of the past 3 or 4 months showed anything, it's that we can't afford it all, that we have to make priority decisions. And the president thinks that this Jobs Act reflects both his priorities, his values, as well as the values of the American people. That what would we rather do, put teachers back to work or give oil and gas companies a special tax break? Would we rather invest in our schools and our roads and our bridges or give corporate jet owners a special tax break? This is precisely about values. This is precisely about setting priorities. And the president thinks that the combination of the jobs bill with the offsets that he's put on the table both will pay for the bill as a whole, make sure it doesn't add to the deficit, but also do so in a way that reflects the values that we all share.
That's great. This next question from Priscilla Skillet, 23, on Twitter, asks, how can we support school counselors and teachers? They help kids be ready for college and prepare for their careers.
Well, thanks, Priscilla, for the question. That's a critical part of this package. We know that in order to ensure that we're competitive moving forward, we need to make sure that we have our educators at the helm of their classrooms, doing all they can to really make sure that our kids are reaching their full potential. So the tough economy has also hit the education sector particularly hard. And we've seen loss of 120,000 education jobs just in this past year, according to some census data. So we know the need is out there. We know that need is great. That's why the president really moved forward with the Recovery Act to provide over $48 billion to states to really begin to fill some state budget shortfalls and make sure that we weren't cutting back on our needed education investment. That was followed up last year with an education jobs fund of $10 billion, and that we know has kept thousands of teacher jobs afloat. Moving forward here in this American Jobs Act, the president has proposed a $30 billion investment for our teachers and other educators across the country. That will ensure that we prevent layoffs for up to 280,000 of our teachers in the coming years. And that's not only just teachers, but other related school personnel, counselors, folks that are working as paraprofessionals in the classroom, other support staff, reading instruction specialists, librarians, others in the school. And we know that investment is going to be critical as we move forward. We have over 21 states now that have showed that they have some level of state budget shortfall. And a whole host of states that are cutting back on their investment in education. We believe that really now is the time to do more, not less, to really meet this need. So the president's jobs proposal here for education directly meets that need.
Thank you, Priscilla, for the question. And then we'll go back to Twitter. And the nice folks at the U.S. Chamber want to know, what will the White House do to create jobs by expanding American exports?
That's a great question. Obviously, the president believes that a key part of our future growth as a country has got to come from expanding our exports overseas. It's just a key part of making our economy and our economic growth stable over the long run. That's why the president's been a champion of expanded free trade. He's a supporter and looks forward to signing into law the three free trade agreements that are currently on the table. Those with Panama, Korea, and Colombia, and just generally has been focused on expanding exports as part of the goal that he's set to double American exports. It's also a key part of our engagement with China has been reducing the barriers to American exports into the Chinese market, which is obviously going to be so important for the future of both the world economy and for the future of American exporters. So I think taken together, you look at the National Export Initiative, the goal of doubling export. You look at the free trade agreements. You look at the way in which the administration has been when engaging with our partners and with other countries around the world, perhaps most especially with China. All of this adds up to the fact that the president recognizes just how important exports are going to be to our future and just what a priority he's placing on making sure that they're growing and that Americans are being put to work producing for consumers around the world.
So I'm the host of this thing, so I think I'd like to ask a question myself. I'm a big fan of programs like AmeriCorps that do absolutely incredible things, both for the communities in which they work in, but also as a sort of an on-ramp developing useful skills to enter the workforce. You mentioned some programs, Bridge to Work programs in North Carolina and Georgia. Maybe some more resources that we can talk about that directly help young people who are maybe in college, right out of college, get that first job that leads to the second job, that leads to a career. So what kind of resources can we talk about in this plan?
Sure. Well, I think one of the resources that's critical here, again, is the Summer Jobs and Year-Round Jobs Fund that's part of this plan. And that is a fund that would give priority to jobs in emerging or in-demand industries. And these dollars would be administered through the workforce investment system, through our local officials, through mayors, through local business-led workforce boards and others. And both, again, looking at how we can prioritize opportunities for our out-of-school youth, as well as to prioritize opportunities for graduates who may still need additional skills and additional opportunities to that might be underemployed and need some additional skills training to be able to really move into some of these high growth industries. We also need to do more to support our America's community colleges, and this package includes an additional $1.5 billion in addition to the fund I've been talking about to support job training and continuing education programs at places like our community colleges. These are institutions around the country that are accessible to many of our young people. We need to be sure that those institutions have the resources they need to really redesign their courses so that they're really industry relevant and directly related to ensuring that our students are going to get a good job. You know, Ronnie, you mentioned you're a big fan of AmeriCorps. The president's a huge fan of AmeriCorps, as you know. And we also are going to continue supporting those types of programs. I think the opportunity that AmeriCorps provides to be able to ensure that our young people are engaging in service, as well as getting compensated, learning, getting skills that will really be a launch pad to further career opportunities is critical. And there are a number of examples around the country, both in the field of education as well as in other areas where AmeriCorps has really been such an important presence in communities. So that's a program we hope to continue to support.
Great. So let's maybe turn our direction back to entrepreneurship. We've had a lot of events over the last few months geared around young entrepreneurs, an exciting bunch of folks. And this question comes from our friends at Inc. Magazine, a magazine for entrepreneurs. And the question that we were asked, what are the major points that a startup needs to consider with the president's proposed tax credits and tax holiday? We talked about access to capital, but there are other parts of this that will specifically support small businesses and entrepreneurs.
That's exactly right. You know, the president has been really focused on providing tax relief to small businesses and indeed to all American workers and all American businesses. So a couple of the key proposals that are on the table. The president has said that that every business in the country, so every business in the country pays payroll taxes on the workers that they employ. Every dollar in wages that goes out the door from an employer to an employee has payroll taxes taken out of it, 6.2% worth of payroll taxes. The president is saying for next year, let's cut that in half for the employers out there. And he's saying let's cut it in half up to the first $5 million in wages that every business pays. Now that's a tax cut that goes to every business in the country. And with the $5 million cap, it means that the 98% of businesses in this country that pay less than $5 million on their payroll will receive a full half off of what they otherwise would have paid through payroll taxes next year. Beyond cutting the payroll tax in half, for 98% of American businesses. The president has also said, you know, we need to get more people into the workforce. We need our small businesses, all of our businesses hiring. We need them offering raises to the employees that they do have. And so what the president's done is said, for any new worker that you hire, for any raises that you give to your workforce as a whole, All of that new activity, that will get a full payroll tax holiday for next year. So a full 6.2% of taxes relieved for any new hiring, for any new employees, for any new wages added by small businesses, by large businesses over the course of next year. Beyond those two tax cuts for business, the president has also put on the table a series of very targeted tax credits. So he said veterans who are returning and who are having a difficult time becoming reintegrated into the workforce. The president's put on the table a returning warriors tax credit that says for any business that hires a returning veteran who has been out of work for longer than 6 months, there's a $5,600 tax credit that would go to an employer for hiring that veteran. For any business that hires a returning veteran who suffered a service-connected disability and has been unemployed for longer than 6 months, the president's proposed that employers get a $9,600 tax credit for giving that person a job, for finding for work for that individual. In addition to the tax credits for veterans, there are also a similar series of tax credits that are out there to encourage employers to hire those who have been unemployed for longer than 6 months. So the president said, any employer that hires an employee that's been out of work for longer than 6 months will get a $4,000 tax credit next year. And on top of all that, the payroll tax holidays, the targeted tax credits to see that employers have that are encouraged to hire our returning heroes, to hire those who have been unemployed for longer than 6 months. The president's also said we need to cut the employee side of the payroll tax, the tax that comes out of all of our paychecks, each and every payroll. We need to cut that tax in half to put more money into the pockets of every single working American. The payroll tax is a tax that each and every one of us pays, and it's a tax that the president is committed to cutting it in half. That means for the average, American out there that makes American family that makes $50,000, that's a $1,500 tax cut for next year. So taken together, the president has an extraordinarily robust package of tax cuts that he wants to use to get small businesses moving again, to get small businesses and large businesses hiring Americans, and to put money in the pockets of each and every American citizen and American worker.
Anything to add to that, Roberto?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay. So I think we'll take one more question on Facebook. And you actually addressed part of the question we were going to ask regarding how we're supporting returning veterans who are, so many of them are under the age of 30 and are coming back to a very difficult employment environment. Are there other subsections of our population that stand to benefit specifically from this plan as well?
Well, I'd say I think the plan really benefits all Americans. Relief in here, both in terms of what Mike has been describing in terms of some of the tax credits and cuts, and as well as some new programs in our Pathways Fund, and also some new dollars to really make sure that some of our key industries, our education industry among them, have the opportunity to hire more workers. So, this is a package that I think is urgently needed. It's needed for our youth. It's needed for our broader population of at-risk adults, and it's particularly going to be important for many of our communities of color, for our Latino and African American communities around the country, for many of our women that are out of work, as well as if you look at the workforce, look at the education workforce, that's a key workforce here. We have some dollars here that will also support some of our early childhood educators to be able to get back to work and be able to get back into the classroom to really help provide the skills and the head start that our youngest children need to be able to start school ready to learn, and ready for success. So we think that it's a very important package. Again, the president has sent this up to Congress. He really wants Congress to act now, and we can't wait. This is not a matter of politics. This is a matter of making sure that we provide the relief that everybody needs to be able to succeed and really to strengthen our economy. And as the president has said, our families, our youth, Americans around the country are hurting right now, and this package is desperately needed. We want to make sure that it gets passed.
Well, I think that's a great place to end. Any final comments or thoughts?
I think that said it quite well.
Well, great. Well, I want to thank everyone for joining us this afternoon. I want to thank Mike and Roberto for your time. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in. Remember, you could keep sending us questions if you'd like, and we'll do our best to answer them in the days and months to come. And remember, you can learn more about the American Jobs Act at whitehouse.gov/youngamericans. Again, my name is Ronnie Cho, live from the White House, and thank you so much for joining in, and we'll see you again soon.